الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were reading the second issue from the affairs of Al-Jahiliyyah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed the people of Al-Jahiliyyah with regards to, and that is that they were divided and they were not united. That the people of Al-Jahiliyyah, they were all divided in their religious matters and likewise in their worldly life. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed them with regards to. And rather, this is likewise something that all of the prophets and messengers that had preceded alayhi salatu wasalam, they had opposed, and they called to the opposite of that, and that is to be unified. And that is to be unified upon the worship of Allah alone with no partners, upon sincerity and devotion and worship, and directing all of that to Allah from every aspect, and likewise following the legislation of the messenger of that time and that era, until the coming of the final messenger, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the seal of all prophets and the last of all messengers, and he has come with the final revelation and the completion and perfection of the legislation and law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the previous nations, the manner to be united and to be upright upon the straight path of Allah azza wa jal, and to reach the paradise, is to single out Allah alone in worship. It's to single out Allah alone for all aspects of worship, and to follow the Prophet and Messenger of that day. And this is the reality of Al-Islam. Al-Ikhlasu lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ikhlasu lil-ma'bud wal-mutaba'atu li al-rasul. Lil-rasul alayhi salatu wa salam. This is the reality of Al-Islam all throughout history and all throughout the generations. To make the worship purely and sincerely for Allah alone, and to follow the message that was revealed to the Prophet of that day. That was revealed to the Prophet of that day and the Messenger of that day. So therefore, now the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all they must believe in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow his way. And in this manner, there will be unification. And there's no other unification in any other manner. Not for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise not for those previous nations. And from the greatest evidence of that is that which the author he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from that most wonderful and beautiful verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had mentioned in Surah Shura, شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَالَّذِي وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. That indeed Allah has legislated for you the law, the legislation that he has ordered and commanded Nuh with, alayhi salam, وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, and that which we have revealed to you likewise, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَوَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى, and the same legislation and law that we have prescribed and ordained as well for Ibrahim and for Musa and for Isa, alayhi salatu wa salam, أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, to establish the deen, to establish the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, to make the worship purely and sincerely for Allah alone from every aspect, and do not differ with regards to that, meaning obey the Messenger of that time. Obey the Messenger of that time, and the final Messenger again is the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these first two affairs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed his people with regards to, their from the greatest two affairs, and they are contained in the Shahada, that one he must bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone with no partners, and one must bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, the one who learns these rites and the one who learns this shahada and this testimony of faith, and he believes in that, and he bears witness to that, he understands what it means and requires and necessitates, and he believes in that and bears witness to that, and he strives against his soul to implement that in his life, at this time he will be upon the straight path. At this time he will be upon the straight path. And those who are in the same manner, understanding the Shahada in the proper light, and understanding its requirements and that which it necessitates, and likewise they as well are striving against their souls to implement that in their lives, then they will all be united. then they will all be united. And this is the means for unification. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called to. And this is what his people oppose him with regards to. They oppose him in this affair. They refuse to worship Allah alone. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Is he making all of the objects of worship one? This is verily something amazing and strange for them. And this is something that they considered amazing and strange. They did not like that. They did not approve of that. And likewise, they refused to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to believe in him and follow him and to take him as a role model. So therefore, they remained in the manner that they were upon, divided and separated. And in the end, they were disgraced. Those who did not surrender and submit, they were disgraced. And they met a foul and a lowly outcome like the previous nations who opposed their prophets likewise. وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the good outcome is for the righteous and for the pious. Is for the righteous and for the pious. So this is from the greatest of the affairs. Rather, this is the greatest of the affairs, to make the religion entirety and purity for the sake of Allah alone, and to devote oneself with all actions of worship to Allah alone with no partners. And likewise to obey the Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this manner, a person, he will be upright and on the straight path. Upright and on the straight path. The author is mentioning the third principle that's coming after this, and they're all connected together. And the third principle that they were upon, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam opposed them with regards to, is that they would not take a leader, and they would not bow and surrender to anyone, and they would not give obedience to anyone. Rather, they would all be too proud and arrogant to follow a particular leader and to have him to be in the head and to determine the affairs for them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he opposed them in that likewise, and he ordered the people to listen and to obey the Muslim ruler. And in reality, these affairs cannot be established except in this manner. So the tawheed of Allah azza wa jalla is not perfected and correct except with the obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these two affairs likewise cannot be established in the land except with having a ruler. Yani that the tawheed, whenever it's implemented properly, then the people will unite upon that. And this cannot happen except with obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being united upon that tawheed, being united upon the proper creed, being united upon the proper methodology and way of living life, being united behind obedience with regards to the halal and the haram and the limits and the law and legislation that Allah had prescribed, that has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this manner, there will be unity, and there cannot be any unity except if there is a ruler, except if there is a ruler that they're following behind. Because in this manner, with the ruler set in place, then the religion can be established and the lands can be safe and the limits can be set and the punishments can be prescribed and the masajid can be opened and the salawat can be established and the likes like this in this manner by having a Muslim ruler. So there cannot be any unity. There cannot be any unity without tawheed and without obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, this cannot be implemented properly until there's a Muslim ruler. Whenever there is no ruler, then they're all divided. They're all divided and there's chaos. And there is much bloodshed and fighting and differing. But whenever there is a ruler that they are united behind at this time, then the good of this life and likewise of their religion can be established, and the affairs of the society can move in proper order. So they're all related here. But with regards to the reality of being united, again, this is according to that which is proper and correct. Not being united in the body, or just gathering the people together, or all having the same votes and the likes like this. This is not true unity. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. This is the way of the hypocrites, rather, that you think that they're all united, but their hearts are divided. And this is the case with regards to the people of deviation, the disbelievers from the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and the atheists, and likewise from the different sects that ascribe to Islam. They're all innovated and deviant sects. Even sometimes it may appear that they're all together, and maybe they will unite sometimes in certain affairs, but in reality they dislike each other and they detest each other, and they're not truly united. It's only for some worldly gain, like the hypocrites, waliyadu billah. As for the sunnah, as for the proper creed, the proper belief, the proper methodology and way, understanding the truth correctly as it was revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal and implemented in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarified in his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever the people unite upon this, at this time the bodies and the hearts become united, and now the unity is beneficial and good. So the foundation in this is the unification of the hearts. The unification of the hearts, in this manner the bodies will be unified. Even if the bodies are not together, or even in distant lands, but the hearts are united, then there's great aid and assistance and help. And a believer, although maybe he does not know individuals or see them often, maybe they're in a far off land, he loves them dearly. For the sake of Allah, and their hearts are united. And their hearts are united, and there's great love and mercy and cooperation between them, even though their bodies are in foreign distant lands. And this is because they love each other for the sake of Allah. Because they love each other for the sake of Allah. So this is the true unity, to be united upon the truth. And likewise, this is something that has a clarification and a manner. And that is to be united upon the Quran and the Sunnah. As we have seen, the author, he mentioned the verse, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. Hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. Yani to the Quran and to the Sunnah, to the Wahyain, to the revelation, to the law and legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. In this manner you will be united. So a person, he has to hold fast to that. Hold fast to the legislation and the law in the proper manner and the proper understanding. Holding fast to the proper creed and proper belief. Holding fast to the proper manner of worshipping and establishing the outward pillars and sacred rites of Islam. And likewise the manners and dealings and conduct. All of this must be in accordance to what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, then the people, they will be united whenever they're holding fast to this. But we find many times people, they will claim that and they will hold fast to this and to something else. And this is not sufficient. Rather, it must be purified. A person, he must hold fast entirely to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not holding fast in some aspects to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal, in other aspects holding fast to the customs of one's people or the culture of one's society or the masjid, the way of the masjid where one grew up, or the way of a person's people or forefathers and the likes like that, whenever it's in contradiction to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, one, he must hold on to the rope of Allah alone and hold on tight. Many people, they're holding on to Islam, and likewise they're holding on to their customs and cultures. And likewise they're holding on to their customs and cultures and affairs that are introduced and innovated in the deen of Allah and not from it. And many times they hold on to that in the manner that they should hold on to the rope of Allah, and they will not let go. And whenever they're called to let go, you find great resistance and enmity and hardship and difficulty, especially those people who those innovations have taken root in their heart. So to hold fast to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the means. But likewise to understand what that is. Yani because even the people of deviation and innovation, likewise, they claim that they're holding fast to the rope of Allah. They claim that they're holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. You find the Rafila, and you find the Sufiya, and you find Al-Ikhwan Al-Muslimun, Al-Muflisun, and you find Jamaat Al-Tabligh, and you find all these different sects, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the likes. All of them, they claim that they're following the Quran and the Sunnah. All of them, they claim that they're following the Quran and the Sunnah. Any every deviant sect that ascribes to Islam, they do not claim anything else. They do not claim anything else. And even the worst of them, they claim the same claim. But claims are not sufficient. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ إِلَّا هَالِكَ. I have left you upon the clear, the al-bayda, literally the white path. Yani, but meaning is that it's the clearest way. Like a garment that is completely white, any speck, anything that is not from the garment, that is foreign to it, whenever it falls onto a white thobe, any drop or any speck of any other foreign object, whenever it comes onto that thobe, it becomes apparent. Any very easy. It becomes apparent very easy. Any of the falsehood or that which is not from it becomes apparent very, very easy. So likewise, the Sunnah and the way that leads to Allah Azza wa Jal is very clear. It's very clear for those who learn that path and they understand it properly. لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. It's night is like its day, and no one will turn away from it except for they will be destroyed. So the means to have unity and the means to be united and to be upright is to know truthfully the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to know truthfully and to hold fast to the Quran and to the Sunnah. So this has been clarified, the means of this, and this is to understand the Quran and the Sunnah in the light of the understanding of those noble companions whom Allah Azza wa Jal had selected and chosen for them to witness the revelation and to defend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to believe in him and follow him. So that which is in accordance with their way, then this is the proper and straight path. That which is in accordance to their way, the way of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet radiyallahu anhum, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhum, that which is in accordance to their way and their creed and their belief, the way that they understood the issues of al-Iman and the issues of al-Tawheed and the beautiful names and lofty attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way they understood these affairs, and likewise the rest of the affairs of the unseen that are related to the hereafter with regards to the Jannah and the Nar and the accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the affairs with regards to the angels and the previous prophets and messengers and books, all of this, the issues that will happen in the Day of Judgment, the issues that happen to the soul at the time of death and that which occurs after that until the resurrection, all of this must be understood in the light of the understanding of the companions radiyallahu anhum. And this is something that is from the most obvious and clear of affairs, from the legislative aspect, from that which is mentioned in the Quran directly and the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and likewise in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no doubt as well intellectually in one's mind he can realize this and see that this is the clear truth, the clear truth that the true religion of al-Islam and the straight path that leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is that which the companions were upon. It is that which the companions were upon, radiyallahu anhum. This is the criterion. This is the criterion. This is the means to determine who is truthful and who is lying, who is upright and correct and who is misguided and deviated from that path. To ask oneself, was the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this path? Did they understand these texts in this manner? Did they believe in this way? Was this understood according to them in their day? Or were they aware of that, were upon that in their day? Or is it contrary to that? So this is something that is very clear. The Quran and the Sunnah, both of them, they were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were revealed, the legislation was revealed in intervals, yani little by little, event after event, different circumstances and situations that happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum. So the Quran is being revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sahaba bayna adhurihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the companions there amongst the Prophet. The revelation is coming, descending upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions there amongst him. And he is informing them of that revelation, and they believe in him and follow him and obey him and comply to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect. In every aspect, even times and examples in the life of the companions radiyallahu anhum, they would be so diligent to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow him, he would not have to say a word. And they would imitate him and follow him precisely. Like in the time whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's praying salah, and Jibreel, he came alayhi salatu wasalam and informed him that there is some filth in the bottom of his shoe. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the middle of the prayer, he kicked his shoes to the side. And then suddenly, likewise, the companions, all of them, they don't know what happened. But they kicked all of their shoes to the side likewise. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he finished, he said, مَا حَمَلَكُمْ عَلَى إِلْقَاءِ نِعَارِكُمْ. He said to them, What led all of you to throw your shoes off? And the Prophet said, and they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've seen you throw off your shoes, so we threw off our shoes. We've seen you throw off your shoes in the middle of the prayer, so we threw off our shoes. He didn't say throw off your shoes. They just witnessed this. This is something that they witnessed. And therefore they know that he is the role model and he's the example. And his path is the path that is correct and leads to the pleasure of Allah. And they're seeking that. And they believe in that and they're seeking that. So therefore they follow him in this manner. And this is just an example of their diligence to follow that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon in every aspect. And these affairs, they're being revealed yani according to the circumstances and situations that they're in. They're going to battle against the enemies. Many of them, they have lost, they lost their life. And others, they lost family members. And they lost property and wealth. They gave their lives and their wealth
for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, in defense of his religion and in defense of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they witnessed this. They learned from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Quran. He recited to them the Quran and they learned it from him. And they prayed behind him in the salah, and he taught them how to pray, and he taught them how to fast. And these affairs and these legislations were being revealed and made obligatory time after time in their life. And they're the first ones to ever implement it. They're the first ones to ever implement it. And they're the believers, and they're the first and foremost of those who are considered believers from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one knows anything about Islam or anything about the Quran or anything about the Sunnah and the laws and legal ways that were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the companions. Except the companions. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, it was upon them. They're the ones who established the conveyance of this law and legislation, and the conveyance of the deen. All of that which they witnessed and they heard and learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either directly or indirectly from his statements and from his actions and that which he affirmed, and likewise the principles as well that they learned from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in dealing with life and dealing with life and dealing with circumstances and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and the likes and battle and war, and also with regards to every aspect of life. They passed that on. They conveyed that to those after them. They conveyed that to those after them. So it was only by their conveyance that the people after them learned about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because those after them, they did not see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Tabi'un, they did not see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They just heard about him. They just heard about him from that which the Sahaba, those who witnessed and saw him and learned from him and believed in him, that which they had learned. So they conveyed it in this manner. And then likewise, they conveyed it after them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he referred to this. In Sunan Abi Dawood and the Hadith Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhumah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, that indeed you're going to hear any of the knowledge. You're going to hear the legislation and law. You're going to learn the deen. تَسْمَعُونَ, you're going to hear the legislation, meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam indirectly. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ, and it will be heard from you, meaning that there are going to be people who learn from you, and they hear the knowledge from you. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, and it will be heard from those who heard from you. In this manner like this, and this is a reference to those three generations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised. So we have seen in our previous class a number of these affairs, and we discussed them, but to go into more detail, to emphasize this, because just as we see how amazing it is, all those evidences clarifying that the deen must be for Allah alone, and that Allah, he does not accept that the religion should be, that any aspect of the religion should be devoted or directed to anyone besides Allah, any action of worship. Yet still, along with all this great clarification, a vast number of people, they called on others besides Allah. A vast number of people, their hearts are attached to the dead, or to stars, or to trees, or to others besides Allah from one aspect or another. From one aspect or another. So how is that? This is amazing. After this great clarification and this great effort of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the clarification as well of the obligation of being united and not being divided, and holding fast to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In order to do that, to hold fast to the way of the companions radiallahu anhum, this is from the most clearest of affairs, and this is the exact point where the majority of those who are misguided from this ummah, they're misguided. Where did they go astray? What is the reason why they are misguided? Because they do not understand their religion, the understanding that is correct. They have an introduced understanding. An understanding, they understand Iman. They understand Tawheed. They understand the pillars of faith. They understand Al-Imanu Billah. They understand the meaning of the Shahada, contrary to the way the companions, they understood it. We understand this? How did the people today from the Sufiyya and the Shia and the likes like this, why are they worshipping the graves? What is the means that allowed them, that they have taken the steps to trick the people to this? They misinterpret the statement, La ilaha illallah. They say, Al-Ilah, Al-Khaliq. La Khaliqa illallah. La Raziqa illallah. La Qadira al-Khira illallah. All these different interpretations, La ilaha mawjood illallah. Different interpretations of this very fundamental statement. This has led them to now violating that great right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, they have misinterpreted and misunderstood the statement that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and therefore they're not united, rather they're divided. They're not united, rather they're divided. And there's no way to understand this properly and implement it properly and give it its rights except by knowing what the companions were upon. Except by knowing what the companions were upon, radiallahu anhum. So this is something that's very clear. That if for example, a man, if one of us is going to teach his son something specific that only he knows. So those who come after him, they will only learn it from him. No one else, he has knowledge of this affair. So then for somebody else to claim that he's going to teach him how to do a particular trade. So then those who come after him, they're going to have to learn it from him. It's 1 + 1 = 2. So there's no possible way that there could be a religion, there could be something that's ascribed to al-Islam, and the companions, they were unaware of it. The companions, they didn't apply it. And actually, there's a belief or creed that's contrary to the belief or creed of the companions. That's not possible. It's not possible. Intellectually, it's not possible. They're the ones who believed in the first place. And they're the ones who transmitted that to those after them. And they're the link, they're the very fundamental link in the chain from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us. From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us. And this is one of the greatest virtues of this ummah, that we have this chain here. Because the rest of the prophets and messengers like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Hawariyun, we don't know any of them. The generations between the prophets, the previous prophets, and between us or the closest people are hundreds of years. Many generations, there's missing links in the chain. As for us, we have a link all the way back to the very individuals who lived and believed along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a great virtue. So no doubt their way is their understanding and their religion, what was Islam in their day, this is the true Islam. And anything that's contrary to that is falsehood. It's falsehood. So for this reason, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he mentioned in his book, Usul al-Sunnah, he said, As-Sunnatu indana, at-tamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal-iqtida'u bihim. Wal-iqtida'u bihim. So the very first thing Al-Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, he said, Usul al-Sunnah, the fundamental of the Sunnah, yani al-aqidah and deen. The fundamental, the greatest foundation of the deen, the first thing that he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is that the fundamentals of the religion, of the Sunnah, meaning of the creed, of the belief with us, of the deen of al-Islam with us, is to hold fast to that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon, and to take them as role models. And to take them as role models. This is from the greatest understanding of the religion. This is from the greatest and most detailed and deep understanding of the religion. We all know the status of Imam Ahmad. We all know the status of Imam Ahmad. We all know the status of Al-Imam al-Shafi, who is his teacher. We all know the status of Imam Malik, who is the teacher of Shafi. We all know the status of Abu Hanifa. We all know the status of the four Imams, and likewise those who are upon their way. We love and respect all of them. We love and respect all of them, and they have a great rank and great status. And it's a fundamental principle and well known in the deen of al-Islam. All of us know this, and even the most ignorant of the believers, they know that the foundation of al-Islam is the Quran and the Sunnah. If you ask the most ignorant of the believers, the one who has the least knowledge, you say, what is the foundation of al-Islam? Where is Islam derived from? What would he say? The Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah. This is the first thing. And this is what has preceded that all of the people, what did they say whenever you ask them what you're doing? Or who are you, what did they say? Quran, Sunnah, Quran, Sunnah. The Rafidah, Quran, Sunnah. The Sufiya, Quran, Sunnah. Jamaat al-Tabligh, Quran, Sunnah. The Khawarij and the ISIS and the Qaeda and the Taliban and this one and that one and that, all of them, they claim Quran, Sunnah. Quran, Sunnah. Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he died in the year 241. He is aware of this too. That is the Quran and the Sunnah. But look at his detailed and deep understanding. He didn't say the foundation of the Sunnah with us, the foundation of al-Islam with us is the Quran and the Sunnah. Which it is, that's the foundation, the Quran and the Sunnah. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. But he said, Usul al-Sunnah indana, tamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillah. Wal-iqtida'u bihim. The Sunnah, the foundation of the Sunnah with us is holding fast to what the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon, and taking them as role models. And taking them as role models. Why? Sahih. Ahsant.
Because they received it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was no way for us to ever get it if they hadn't received it.
Ahsant. He's saying usul sunnah indana, the foundation of the sunnah, meaning the base of the deen, the reality of al-Islam. Usul as-sunnah, the reality of al-Islam. What does he mean by the sunnah? Yani aqidah, al-Islam, the deen, the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. The foundation, the greatest foundation and the fundamental of that, where does it lie? Where does the reality of al-Islam lie at? He says, holding fast to that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon and taking them as role models. Doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal say, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ? Doesn't Allah Azza wa Jalla say in his book that indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah the best role model? Yep. So what didn't Imam Ahmad say to take the Messenger of Allah as a role model?
They transmitted from him.
Everybody's right, but I want it to be as clear as daylight. So anybody who had a doubt now, it will be removed. Or the proof will be established against them. And those who have no doubts, they will be stronger and more firm and steadfast upon the proper creed and belief.
They are the one who implemented correctly.
Because there's no possible way to take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model except by knowing how he was, except by knowing what he did, except by knowing what he believed in. What did he believe in? How did he worship Allah? How did he perform the obligation? What did he say? What did he do? How did he act? What did he look like? How did he move? How did he talk? What did he talk about? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had commandments, what did he order? There's prohibitions, what did he forbid? How did he implement the commandments? How did he forbid? How did he avoid the prohibitions? All of this right here, this is the religion of al-Islam, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. And as we know, what did Aisha say about the Messenger and his manners? Radiallahu anha, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that his manners were the Qur'an. And he meaning that he would implement the commandments and he would avoid and stay away from the prohibitions and he would do what he's ordered in the Qur'an, that which is pleasing to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how would we know how that occurred? It is the companions, they're the ones who witnessed that. They're the very ones who told us that he said that. They're the ones who told us that the Qur'an was revealed. They're the ones who conveyed the Qur'an to us from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not possible to know anything about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except the companions, they informed us. Except the companions, they informed us. They're the ones who have transmitted his entire life to us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no possible way to truly follow the Quran nor the Sunnah except by following the companions. Except by following the companions, because they're the ones who followed the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're the ones who followed the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, for example, I come in my mind right now, whenever there's a big jama'ah. Whenever there's a big jama'ah, like on Jumu'ah, there's the imam is in the front. The imam is in the front. And what about those people who come late in the back? Can they see the imam? How do they move? Because they see the people in front of them moving. When did they make ruku'? Whenever the people in front of them make ruku'. Or whenever there's somebody relaying behind them. The takbir, or the tasmi' and the likes like this. So those who came later, they're dependent upon those who came before them. There's no way they know that he's in ruku except he's watching the people before him make ruku, because they're the ones who've seen it like this, all the way back till they get to the ones who've seen it, the imam, in this manner like this, or they heard it, and the likes like this. So, this is how it is. It's not possible to know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did except to go to those people who've seen him, and go to those people who heard him, and go to those people who believed in him and followed him. In this manner, to follow them, one will be able to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's absolutely no other way to follow him. Is there another way to follow him? Is it possible? Any other way we can follow the Prophet? Like for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, pray as you see me pray. How do we know he said that? Because Malik ibn Huwayrith radiallahu anhu, he came from his tribe and he traveled a great distance in a time where his life was in danger, and he came to the Prophet with the group of youth and he said that we're not able to come. We're not able to come often. Because of this tribe of Mudar, and they're fighting, they're going to war because of the jahiliyyah that they have. So even he's risking his life to come there just to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the things that he learned is how to pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him this narration, "Wasallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." And this has reached us from him, and from those who he had told after that, and then they told after that from those trustworthy and reliable generations until it was collected in book form by the likes of Imam Bukhari. rahimahullah ta'ala, and then transmitted to us in this manner. So the point is that it's not possible to know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that except by hearing it from a companion. And then to know, he said that, so then how did he pray then? Then how did he pray then? So who's going to tell us how he prayed? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions. So somebody who's praying in a manner that's not narrated in none of the narrations, is it proper? Could it possibly be proper? He's praying in a manner, he's moving his hands in a manner, he's saying something in his prayer, he's doing some type of actions in the prayer that has not been narrated to us from the companions. Is it possible that that's from the salah? It's not possible that, because if the companions didn't narrate it to us, and they're the ones who told us that he said the prayer as he prayed, and they're the ones who told us how he prayed, and they didn't narrate this to us, then there's something going on here. The point is that there's no possible way to know what the Prophet ﷺ did except for by relying upon the companions. So the companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has selected them and chose them to be the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first and foremost, and for those to carry that religion, to defend him, to believe in him, and to follow him and defend him, and to carry that religion after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise, he chose them with wisdom and knowledge. So therefore it's not possible to know about Islam properly except by knowing what the companions were upon. And likewise, it's not possible to know what the companions were upon except by knowing what their students were upon. And likewise, their students as well. And these generations here, they have been praised in that narration. And likewise, in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. It's متفقون عليه, from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, and likewise Imran ibn Hussein. And it's narrated by more than one companion, radiallahu anhum, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the best generation, the best of mankind, is my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So there's a specific praise here. This is because these are the closest generations to the revelation, and Allah has selected and chosen them to be those who bear and carry this deen. And it was after them, briefly after them, that the sunnah was actually collected. After the Atba' Tabi'in, in the time of Tabu' Atba' Tabi'in, this is whenever Imam Ahmad came. This is whenever the rest of the Kutub al-Sitta, they came, and the fourth generation, the fifth generation after that, and then Sunnah became collected. Everything that the companions they had narrated to the Tabi'een, and then after them, to the Atba' Tabi'een, yani three generations, three people in the chain. That's why Abu Khari, what does he have? The highest chain he has? Athuriyat, yani three people. Three people between him and the Prophet. This is the highest chain al-Bukhari has. Three people between the Prophet, between him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if this is the highest al-Bukhari he gets, this is the highest Bukhari he gets, having three people between him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those generations. So the point is that after that, the Sunnah was gathered and collected in books, and then after that, the books are transmitted to us, all to the Ummah, and the Ummah has gathered an agreement and consensus that the most authentic book after the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the most authentic book written by a man, is the book of Bukhari. And after that, the book of Muslim. And these are the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they are conveyed to us, his sunnah, his life, in this manner. So this is the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. That there will always remain a group of people that is victorious, apparent, and victorious, and strong, and upright upon the truth. No harm will come to them from those who oppose them, nor those who abandon them, until the command of Allah comes. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned, إِن لَمْ يُكُونُوا أَهْلَ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَدْرِ مَنْهُمْ. If it's not the people of hadith, I don't know who they are. And likewise, Ali ibn Madini, he said the same thing. Imam Ahmad, likewise, he said the same thing. Any of the people of hadith, any of those first generations who had collected the narrations and transmitted them to us, beginning with the companions and the tabi'in, it's by tabi'in. And they're the true scholars of hadith who have conveyed this religion to us. Their religion is the correct religion. They're the ones who lived and died upon the straight path, especially the companions. Especially they lived and they died upon the straight path. So this is something that is from the clearest of affairs, yet many people, they oppose them. So where do the people go astray? Why do the Khawarij, they blow up each other? Why are they killing each other? Why is the Shia doing what they're doing? Why are they in the masjid saying, who, 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 who? And the likes like this. Because they understand the religion contrary to the understanding of the Sahaba. If they had returned back to the Sahaba, they would not do what they're doing. They'll not do what they're doing. Whenever the first deviation occurred with the Khawarij, what happened? They split. Who went to talk to them? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. What did he say to them first thing? Yes, I came to you from the side of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't see none of them with you. I don't see none of them with you. Any meaning that you're saying this, you're saying this verse from the Quran, in al-hukmu illa lillah. The ruling is for none but Allah. But he said, I'm coming from the side of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't see none of them with you. And then they start debating. He refuted one of their doubts. And then they started debating. He refuted another doubt. And they started debating. He refuted another doubt. And then the majority of them, they repent. And they realize. But even the first thing he says is that I come from the side of the companions. He even using this as a proof against them the first time they deviate. The first deviation, what happened? They opposed the companions. They opposed the companions. Were they the best of them? Ali, radiallahu anhu. Before that, they killed the best companion, Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and the likes like this. So, yani, the understanding of the Sahaba, this is the key. This is the means of success. This is the means of unity. This is the means of joy and peace and happiness. This is the means of tranquility. This is the means of steadfastness. This is the means of all good in this life and the hereafter. This is the means of all good in this life and the hereafter. And the further a person he gets from that is the means for him to be miserable and foul and misguided and misled. Misguided and misled. The further a person he gets away from the understanding of the Sahaba, especially in creed and belief and tawheed, and the likes like this, and likewise after them, the Qadiriyah, what happened? They misunderstood and they misinterpreted the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, contrary to the way of the companions. None of them, they understood that. Abdullah bin Umar, he said that, tell them that whoever disbelieve in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm free from them and they're free from me. I'm free from them and they're free from me. And Allah will not accept nothing from them until they believe in the Qadr. Until they believe in the decree. So they opposed the companions. So then this deviation, the Khawarij was revolting against rulers, was introduced. Denying the decree of Allah was introduced. Denying the attributes of Allah were introduced. All of this because they opposed the way of the companions. The way of the companions, radiallahu anhum. So therefore, to have success and to have unity and to be upon khair is to go back to the understanding of the companions. And the humiliation and the misguidance will continue in the ummah until we return collectively back to the understanding of the companions in knowledge and in action. And today, mashallah, this knowledge is being spread, but there's a deficiency in the action. A lot of people are learning about al-Salafiyyah, al-Aqeedah al-Salafiyyah, al-Da'wah al-Salafiyyah, al-Manhaj al-Salafi, and even many of them are ascribing to that, but their actions are contrary. And many of them, if you ask them about that, what is that? They don't know. They do not know. They will not be able to tell you what is al-Aqeedah al-Salafiyyah. Huh? What is that? What is the creed of the Salaf al-Salih? What does that mean? They will not be able to tell you. What does it mean? Al-Imanu billah, according to the creed of the Salaf. How do you believe in the names and attributes of Allah? How did the Salaf believe in the names and attributes of Allah? Just mention briefly with one or two proofs only. They will not be able to tell you. Many of them, they'll start saying something wrong. They'll start saying something wrong, or they have misunderstandings. Or many of them, they ascribe to the way of the Salaf, but in reality, they have lingering remnants of Hizbiyah, or they have lingering remnants of blind following. And the likes like this, and raising up individuals, any contrary to what is proper and correct, contrary to pure, to the pure path of the Salaf. And so this is something that is the means of savior and safety for us as individuals, and likewise for the ummah as a whole. Hatta tarji'u ila dinikum, until you return to your religion. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's going to cast a humility on the people until they return back to the religion. So what religion do we turn back to? Should we turn back to the religion of the Tablighis? Or should we turn back to the religion of the Sufis? If we turn back to the religion of the Sufis, which Sufis should we turn back to? The Naqshbandiya, or the Qadiriyya, or this one, or that one? Which one should we turn back to? And if we turn back to the Shia or the Rafidah, which religion should we turn back to? Which one makes sense to you? Huh? Turn back to the religion of the Sahaba, of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This one is the one that's going to be the means of safety and security and savior. To turn back to the religion that the companions were upon. To turn back to the religion that the companions were upon. Were the companions building graves? Were the companions calling on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, making istighatha with the grave? Were they calling on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or calling on Abu Bakr after he died, or did they call on Umar after he died, or did they call on Uthman after he died, or did they call on Ali after he died? Did any of the companions do that? Radiallahu anhu, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. Did any of them go in these ways that these people are going in their lives like this? And now today, if somebody asks you, oh, you're a Muslim, mashallah, okay, what is your madhab? That's question number one. After that, they say, what is your tariqah? Question number two. After that, they say, what is your aqidah? Question number three. And if you don't have the right answers, then you're going to be considered like a lowlife, or somebody who's nobody. He's going to be like, oh, my madhab is Maliki, or my madhab is Hanafi, and my tariqah is Naqshbandiyya, and my aqidah is Maturidiyya. So subhanAllah, so you got a madhab, you got a tariqah, and you got aqidah, and none of them are the same. You claim to follow Imam Malik, Imam Malik, he was Maturidi? Huh? He was Maturidi? Oh, Imam Malik, was he Rifa'i? A Dusuqi? Yani, was he worshipping Allah upon the tariqah of Dusuqi? He's not doing that. Was Abu Hanifa worshipping? Abu Hanifa, what was he, Ashari? Huh? Is that possible?
No.
That's not possible. The man, he died hundreds of years before the man came. he's Hanafi, but he's Ashari, but he's Naqshbandi. SubhanAllah, what's that? What's that? I mean, wouldn't it be better just to be like Ana Bakri? Huh? Or Ana Uthmani, or Umari, for example. But was there that? Did the companions, they say, oh, I'm following the tariqah of Abu Bakr. I'm Bakri. A tariqah al-Bakriya. Doesn't sound good? Sounds better than Naqshbandi. Who's that? But it's still falsehood likewise. It's not about what does it sound like. You see, there's no tariqah, this is the division that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opposed. This is the division. This is the division, the separation and the dissension that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opposed. These people who ascribe to the different turuq and the ways of a Sufiya, they're upon Jahiliyyah. They're divided the way the people of Jahiliyyah were divided. They do not worship Allah in the same way. All of them, they have a different way. All of them have a different way and a different path, just like the pagans had a different way and a different path. This one he worshipped Hubud, and this one he worshipped Al-Masih, and this one he worshipped Al-Manat, and this one he worshipped Uzza, and this one he worshipped this way, and this one he worshipped that way, and this one in this manner, and this one in that manner. They're all different, and they're all divided, and everyone thinks that he's good. Likewise, the Sufis today and the Shia today, the same thing. This one, he has a grave here, and this one has a shrine there, and this one has a tree here, and this one, and they're all upon a different path. And this one, he worships in this manner, and this one worships in that manner. This one has tariqah Naqshbandiyya, tariqah Rifa'iyya, tariqah Dusuqiyya, tariqah this way, and that way, and this way. And, and none of them are united, and all of them are divided, and all of them think, وَكُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And every one of them, he thinks he's on the right way. And everyone, this one, the one who follows Rifa'i, he says, no, there's no safety, there's no safety and sanctity for any soul except for by the Wadi Rifa'i. And the other one said, no, there's no, all safety and savior is by following and by seeking refuge with al-Badawi. And no, all of them by the Suqi, by this one, by that one, by all of them, and all of them, they believe they're on the right path. What is this called? Al-Jahiliyyah. This is Jahiliyyah. That's what the author, he wanted to tell us. This is Jahiliyyah. What they're upon is Jahiliyyah. They're in opposition completely and entire to the very foundations and fundamentals of the deen. To the very foundations and fundamentals of the deen. They're not following Islam. This is not from Islam at all. Having this tariqah and that tariqah, it's not from Islam. Abu Bakr, he didn't have a tariqah. Umar, he didn't have a tariqah. Uthman and Ali, radiallahu anhum, they didn't have a tariqah. They didn't have this certain path that you have to weigh. There's no way to worship Allah except for by this way. And you can't get to Jannah except for through the wali. That's what they claim. The one of the leader of the tariq, you can't worship Allah except by his way. Even some of them, that you can't worship Allah except you got a picture with the man. They have adhkar that they make that you can't even worship Allah except by having a picture of the shaykh. And the likes like this. And if these things have been narrated to the people of knowledge, for individuals who repented from those ways. They would tell you the likes of these affairs. And we know that they draw near to those in the grave. Even some of them, they draw near to their sheikh who's alive. To their sheikh who's alive. Some of them will say that he will tell his sheikh, I have to travel. And the sheikh will tell him, here, take this image of me, or take this reminder, this dhikr right here. Anytime you are scared or you're afraid, you call on me, I'll help you. He'll call on me, I'll help you. The man's in Indonesia. The man's in Hind. The man's here in the Hind. You're afraid of something, you need help? Call on me. Isn't this so silly? Yani, subhanAllah. What is more silly than that? They believe in that. But this is the reality. They're doing the likes of this. This is all jahiliyyah. This is all jahiliyyah. This is because they're opposing the understanding of the Sahaba. So now they're divided and they're not united. So the only way to be united is to follow the Sahaba. Because the only way to be united is to follow the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prescribed and ordained for Nuh, and that He had revealed to Prophet Muhammad, and that which He had ordered and commanded Ibrahim and Musa and Isa to all establish, alayhimu salatu wasalam. And what is that? An aqimu ad-deen, wa la tatafarraqu fi, to establish the religion, to establish the tawheed, to establish the ibadah for Allah alone. Fa'ata bil ikhlas. The author, he said in the first one, fa'ata bil ikhlas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came with ikhlas. Fa'ata bil ijtima'. He came with ijtima'. How is this in this manner like this? By following the revelation truthfully and sincerely, by following the deen properly and correctly, inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private. And that cannot happen except by knowing what the companions were upon and taking them as role models. So until a person, he learns what the companions were upon, radiallahu anhum, he will never know what the Prophet was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Ahmad, he said that the foundation of the sunnah, the reality of the deen, is holding fast to that which the companions were upon and taking them as role models, because they're the ones who are truly holding fast to the Quran and the sunnah. That's the point. So everybody claims to hold fast to the Quran and sunnah. Who are the ones that we know for sure held fast to the Quran and sunnah? Huh? The Sahaba. Allah, He said about the قَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that indeed Allah is pleased with the believers, those who pledge allegiance to You under the tree. And the allegiance of Hudaybiyah. So a number of the companions were there at this time, and Allah, He affirmed that He's pleased with them. He affirmed that He's pleased with them. So we have seen in our previous class likewise that the straight path is the path of the companions. The path of obeying Allah, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. This is the path of the prophets, at the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the path of the companions, and in the path of the siddiqeen and the shuhada and the salihin. At the head of the siddiqeen are the companions. At the head of the shuhada are the companions. At the head of the salihin are the companions. So they're the ones that we know for certainty that they lived and died upon the straight path, and that Allah is pleased with them. So therefore, if we want Allah to be pleased with us, we have to follow them. Likewise, Allah, He said this directly as well. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ مَاذَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Him. So the only way that Allah is pleased with you and me is if we're either from the Muhajirin, and we can't be them, or we're either from the Ansar, and we can't be them. So we have to be from those who follow them precisely. And then we'll have the pleasure of Allah, because Allah is pleased with them. Understand? This verse here in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 69, chapter 4, verse 69. This verse is very important to understand. If a believer, no doubt a Muslim, he'll try to memorize the whole Quran, and he'll be engaged in that. But at least he will memorize specific verses from the Quran. That will be a means for him to have insight and certainty in his creed and belief, and likewise in his methodology and path that he's upon. There are certain verses that are fundamental principles with regards to creed, and with regards to belief, and with regards to tawheed, and understanding the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal in the proper manner. These verses here specifically, it's important to show preference to them and memorize them. And memorize them, and likewise other verses as well that are fundamentals with regards to the great actions of worship like Tahara and Salah, to memorize them and understand them and to know the benefits from them. From those verses that a believer who have care and concern with learning and showing preference to memorizing and the likes is this verse here, verse number 69 in the fourth chapter An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنَامَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed they are in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. So this verse is the interpretation of the verse in the Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا سِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَامْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That we all know. This verse here interprets that and clarifies that, sheds light on that. The interpretation of the Quran by the Quran. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. From the prophets and the truthful, and the martyrs and the righteous. وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And how great and good is this company and companionship. So therefore, this clarifies who are those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. At the head of them is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum. At the head of them. And likewise, after the Prophet, the rest of the Prophets and Messengers, and after the rest of the companions, and then after that, the rest of the followers of all of the believers, those who live and died upon faith. According to their rank and level in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then it's very clear now to see that the straight path, those who lived and died upon the straight path that we want to be upon, were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're the ones who are on the straight path. They're the ones who lived upon the straight path. As-Sirat al-Mustaqim is the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions. Like we seen Abu Ali, what did he say? As-Sirat al-Mustaqim Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa sahibahu min ba'dihi Abu Bakr wa Umar. Their straight path, it is the Messenger of Allah. He didn't say that it's the path, it is the Messenger of Allah. To emphasize the path, it is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his two companions after him, Abu Bakr and Umar. Likewise, Abdullah Mubarak, he was asked, Umar al-Jama'ah, who is the Jama'ah? In the hadith that the Ummah is going to split into 73 sects. And they asked, O Prophet, who is the saved sect? All of them are in the fire except for one. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is that one saved sect? And the Prophet in one word, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Al-Jama'ah. Al-Jama'ah, the main body, the congregation. Abdullah Mubarak, he was asked, who is the Jama'ah? He said, Abu Bakr and Umar. The Jama'ah. Who is the Jama'ah? Who is the congregation? Who is the main body? Abu Bakr and Umar. This is their understanding. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And so therefore, this is the proper religion. This is the proper way. So anybody who comes today with something they ascribe to al-Islam, and they say it's from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, they claim this. We say to them that what you're doing right there, that deed, that action of worship, is that from the Sirat al-Mustaqim? Is that from the Sirat al-Mustaqim? That's the first thing we say. Is that from the straight path? And if they say yeah, they would say, was the companions of Allah upon that? Was the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon that? Was the companions of the Messenger of Allah upon that? If you're claiming it's the straight path. If they say no, it's not the straight path, then we already know, okay, well then you're misguided. We don't. It's clear you're misguided. We want to be on the straight path. We want to be on the straight path. So if they claim that is the straight path, then we ask them, was the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam his companions upon that? Or even we could suffice and say, was the companions upon that, radiyallahu anhum? And if they say yeah, if they say yeah, we say bring the proof that the companions were upon that. If they say no, then would they have just clarified that they're upon falsehood. So the point is that the clarification is what the companions were upon. If the companions were doing it, then it's good. Then it's the religion of Islam. If the companions were doing it, then this is from the deen. If they believe in this manner, then this is from the religion. If they didn't believe in this manner, then it's clearly not from Islam. It's not possible to be from Islam if the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do it. It's not possible. So this is something that is very clear. It's very clear. Yes, so many people, they go astray. So many people, they go astray with regards to this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a straight line on the ground. He said, Hada sirat Allah. And then he drew lines on the side, left and right. He said, Hadihi subul. Ala ra'si kulli wahidin minha shaytan yadu ilayhi. This is the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he drew on the side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, different paths going away. He said, these are different paths. And at the head of each one of them is a devil calling to it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا سُبُلَ فَتَّفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. He said, and this is my, Allah, he says, and this is my straight path, so therefore follow it. And do not follow the other paths, or else you'll be taken away from my straight path. So therefore the straight path is only one. And that is the path of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So therefore it's not possible for a person to come and have a tariqah fi ibadah and worship, or in creed, or in belief, or in methodology, or a good way of worship and the likes like this. That is not the way of the companions. The one who has a way that is ascribed to Islam that's not from the way of the companions radiallahu anhum, then he is on the way of those companions. huh? On those subul. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned likewise that they all lead to the hellfire. So they're the ones who are responding to the call of the devil, and they're calling to the call of the devil, not to the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst call of the devil is to call them to make intercession with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. That's the worst of that. And likewise, to be divided upon innovations and disobedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These two principles here. So these are from the greatest affairs of al-jahiliyyah. And the means to establish this properly is to realize the true meaning of ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's no way to truly understand this except by learning and knowing what the companions were upon. They're the ones who have conveyed this to us. They're the ones who have clarified this to us. Their religion is the proper religion. So the one who takes them as a role model, and he believes and understands the legislation of Allah and the way they did, then now he will truly be holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. There's no way to truly hold fast to the Quran and Sunnah except to follow the way of the companions, because they're the ones who lived and died upon the Quran and the Sunnah, and they're the ones whom Allah said that He's pleased with them. He's pleased with them. وَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, and Allah, He knows what's in their hearts. So the companions, they died on the straight path. So therefore, anybody who is contrary to what they died upon, what they believed in, and their path, and their way, then this is not the straight path. This is not the straight path. So all of the turuq of the Sufiyah, they're not on the straight path. What path are they on? The path of the devils. All of the ways of the Shia and the Rafidah, what path are they on? The straight path? No, they're on the path of the devils. The different jama'at and the ahzab, the different political parties and groups, are they on the straight path? No, they're not on the straight path. They're on the path of the devils. And we should not be deceived by the numbers. This is like the fourth or the fifth affair of Jahiliyyah that he's going to mention. We don't use numbers as a proof. Somebody will say, oh, you're trying to claim all of these people are misguided and you are on the straight path only. The one who's on the straight path only is those who follow the companions, and it's not about numbers. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَ. That Islam began as something strange and is going to return to be something strange just as it began. So the fact that the majority of mankind is misguided, this is something that's established in the Quran and the Sunnah. It's not a proof for them. It's not a proof for them. Rather, it's a proof against them. So the correct creed, the correct deen, the real religion is the religion that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he taught his companions radiallahu anhum, and that which they conveyed to those after them and they were upon. And anything that's contrary to that is jahiliyyah. It's jahiliyyah, it's misguidance, it's deviation, it's innovation, it's newly introduced affairs that is contrary to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.